So much. Praise the Lord that we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, we are continuing on learning what love is. And I guess we could also say what love is not. And so this morning we're going to look at true love does not envy. What do you think of when you think of envy? What is envy? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 just gives us a few words here concerning it. Charity suffereth long. We looked at that already. Charity suffereth long. Understand that when we look at a lot of these things with love, we're dealing with suffering. We're dealing with difficult situations. Love makes itself known when things are not easy, when things are tough. And that's really when love comes out. And so you've got to understand that we can think that we love somebody when things are going very well. Oh, yes, I love them. But true love really speaks when things are difficult. And so, you know, the husband and wife, there's going to be difficult times. And it's those times when that spouse maybe is hard to love, that all the emotions aren't there and things aren't going so well. But when a spouse chooses then to do these things, that's when love shines. And we've got to remember that. Don't we always want things to go well? Relationships, we want everything to go perfect. We want things to go smoothly. But love shines when things aren't going so smoothly, and it does tremendous things. And so we're going to learn about that this morning. Charity suffereth long and is kind. We saw the counterpart to that, that benevolent giving. When we are suffering through a relationship there, not only do we suffer and stay patient through it, but we go all out and we give to that cause. We give to that person. In fact, we need to do that. I hope that last week you were encouraged to move forward with doing something special for that individual. Now, you can be a little concerned if all of a sudden you start getting lots of gifts. You must say, boy, they must think that I'm pretty miserable here. No, that's not the way it should work. In fact, if you get something or somebody is kind to you, you shouldn't all of a sudden think, boy, they must think that I'm the enemy. But praise the Lord when people are kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And then he goes right into charity envieth not. And that's all that's said. Charity envieth not. And he moves on. What does it mean to envy or envieth here? The word envy means to set one's heart on. Okay, what does that mean? Just that definition, what does that mean? To set your heart on something. Have you ever had your heart set on something? You know, maybe after you leave here today, your heart is set on what you have for lunch. Your heart is set on the thing. I can't wait to go home and eat that hot dog. Or no, maybe not so. But I can't wait to go home and eat this, you know, whatever it is. And maybe it is a hot dog. Maybe it's a roast. Maybe it's leftovers. I don't know what you have. And maybe you don't know either. But, you know, your heart's set on whatever it is that you're going to get home. But sometimes we have our heart set on other things besides food. We have our heart set on maybe an item that we want to get. We have our heart set on certain things. Maybe we have our heart set on an event. You can't wait until you do this. My heart is set on this thing. Okay, so to envy is to have your heart set on in simplicity. To have your heart set on it. It doesn't mean that if your heart's set on a roast this afternoon that you're envying it necessarily. But the idea of envy starts with the idea of setting your heart on something. If you're setting your heart on something, it's not a casual setting. When we say your heart's set upon something, you're driven for it, right? You're very driven. In fact, a word that is very closely related to this word envy is zealousy. What does it mean to be zealous about something? A zealous person. That's one that is driven for something, right? You label a certain person, boy, that person's just so zealous to do that thing. You can see that they're driven. You can see their heart. You can see that they're going all out for it. You know, when a runner is running in a race and he's getting ready to cross that finish line, do we see the runner running completely vertical? Or do we see them more at an angle, stretched out, right? We see them stretched out, trying to reach forward. Why? Because they're zealously pursuing something. All right, this person that is envious is pursuing something hard, and they're all stretched out, reaching for it. And I don't think that so far that has given us a clear picture of what envy is. It's definitely somebody that has got their heart set on something. It's definitely somebody that is zealously going after something with everything. But there's another word that comes to us that helps us to understand this. Not just the zealous part of it, but the word jealousy. Now, that brings a whole new element to this. As we put, you know what it means to be jealous, right? To be jealous is to look around and see something or a situation that somebody else has or is enjoying, and to wish for that. Well, I wish I could experience that. I wish that I could have that. Jealousy. Now, but just left to itself, this word envieth is not just jealous. We've got to combine all of these thoughts. This is a person that's got their heart set on something else. This is a person that is stretched out and going forward for this thing that they wish that they had that they don't. That's a little bit more of the picture of the word envy here. Look back to chapter 12 and look at verse 31. Going through the spiritual gifts in the very last verse of chapter 12, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Okay, now that is the same word that is used, the covet. You know, go all out after these certain things. Now, in light of the context there, obviously, I think that what is saying here is a little bit more of the negative side of things. I think he's saying, but we need to be very careful with desire. I mean, there's no way that Paul is saying that you need to look around at what other people have been gifted at, and you need to zealously be wishing so bad that you did that. I don't think that's what he's saying here. What is he saying this with the word envy here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Envy is wishing that you had something that somebody else has. Have you ever envied somebody else? Just in the very purest form, has your neighbor ever gotten something and you looked over in the driveway and you thought, that would be nice? I wish I would have something like that. I wish that I could drive that. Or, man, they've got a house. Look at my house. You know, I wish that I could have something like that. Have you ever envied or coveted something that somebody else has? It could be an item like a car or a truck or a house. It could just be something that they have. It could be a tractor that they have, you know, that they use to mow their grass with or plow their lane. It could be something that you, it could be the clothes that they wear. It could be the job that they have. It could be the friends that they have. It could be the people that are around them in their family. I wish that I had a son like that. I wish that I had a wife that was. And we have to be very careful with that, but this is the idea of envy. So wishing that you had someone or something else. And this word here is, again, is a very zealous wishing. It's something that continues to stay on in your mind for a long time. It's kind of that thing that you can't hardly get off of your mind. Oh, I wish that I had that. You know, we go in spurts of wanting certain things. You know, isn't it amazing how we acquire something, maybe that we were zealously pursuing. We finally get that, and it's almost like we transfer it to something else. Now there's something else that we see, and, you know, one day you're fine, and then you see an ad, or you see somebody else driving it, or wearing it, or participating in it, and then all of a sudden you can't get it off your mind. You think about it, you know, in any spare moment, and you're pricing it on Amazon, or you're going to the store every day, you know, thinking, and you look at it, okay? We're talking about envy here. Building a picture on what love is not. Envy. So it continues to stay on in your mind. You're consumed with this thing. You see, with envy, the focus is on yourself, as opposed to others. Okay, so you take that same neighbor that came home, and you know that they've been needing a vehicle for a while, and you just didn't realize that they had the means to get this, or you didn't know how they got it, really. You're trying to calculate, and you're like, how does my neighbor afford this? But they drive home in this thing, and you, rather than be thankful for your neighbor, and you might have even been engaged with praying with them for it, you know, we need this, and then they come home, and you're like, wow. I didn't realize that they could get that. I didn't realize that what they were looking at. And then all of a sudden, it sucks everything out that you were trying to help them with. And it takes every focus that was on them. And instead of being thankful for that person, you're just disturbed that you don't have it. Now, we can talk all we want to this morning about our neighbors and the unsaved world out there, but I want us to focus on just right here. And probably right here, it's not going to be some super expensive or fancy thing, because many of us in the room cannot afford those kind of things. But isn't it amazing that we look around and see even our brothers and sisters at the situations that they have? Again, it could be, it might not even be the things that they have. It might be the situations in life. The upbringing, the family issues, and we tend to stop and forget about being thankful for other people. Do you realize that true love is going to rejoice when somebody gets something else? You know what, if somebody else comes home and God blesses them with something, we as brothers and sisters ought to be right there saying, God, thank you so much that you provided this. Isn't that a blessing that they were able to do it and not go back in your home and sit there and get on your calculator and say, now how could they afford that one? I don't see how they could get this. And boy, they're not... And all along, why are we doing that? Because we're jealous. I mean, if God blessed us with something and we drove home in that vehicle, and I don't know why I keep going to the vehicle, but we drive home in the vehicle and we've got it, we would struggle if we knew that our neighbor was looking at us and say, how do they get that? Why do they, you know, we would expect that they be thankful for us, thankful with us, praising the Lord, cheering on and excited, like the scripture says, you know, rejoicing in Romans with them that are rejoicing. See, envy is the opposite. We ought to be rejoicing with our brother. We ought to be thankful that God has done something. Maybe that we've been praying for this for a long time. And then as soon as it happens, why doesn't that happen to me though? God, why don't you bless me that way? Why did they get this thing? My friends, God tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, that is not love. That is not love. You do not love your brother if you are wishing that you had what they have. So I want you to step back and think, do you love your brothers and sisters here? Take a moment to think, are there things right now that I have been actively engaged in thinking and wishing that I had their situation? Why doesn't God bless me that way? I don't understand why they got that. I'm the one that has the bigger need here. What, God, why have you forgotten me? I'm the one that should be getting this. A young man named Arthur began attending church. Arthur was a nice guy. He's a little bit different, but in appearance and in personality. Arthur got involved in a young adult ministry in his church and started in the church and was accepted for who he was. It wasn't long before Arthur became fixated on another guy in the group named Carl. Carl was a successful young man working in corporate America, who was with a well-to-do family. He was amiable, friendly with everyone, had a heart of gold, and was active in the ministry and often hosted events at his apartment in the Garden District. Carl played golf at a local country club, was a member of the Young Republicans, the Young Leadership Council, and another society club. Carl also drove a BMW. Arthur wanted to be just like Carl. He asked to join the clubs that Carl was a part of and wanted to be Carl's best friend. While Carl was gracious to Arthur, they were never going to be best friends. Arthur's envy turned, and one night Arthur went over to Carl's apartment, poured gasoline on Carl's BMW, and it lit on fire. He was arrested and served time in jail. True story, I believe, from somebody else. I don't know Carl or Arthur. And you say, that never happens. Folks, can I tell you something? This is what envy does to you. You might not go over to your neighbor's BMW and set it on fire, but I'll tell you what, in your heart, we set lots of fires on these people because we're bitter at what God has not done for us, and they don't deserve it. My friend, I want to tell you, this is a bigger issue in our lives than what we realize. So many times, and we might have gotten hurt by that person, whatever the case, sometimes we're hurt just because they were blessed with something. And we get hurt over it because we think that we deserve it. And what we end up doing is we do everything we can to make them hurt, or we set their situations on fire, and somehow we feel better when they lose. This is envy. And this goes against love. So with envy, the focus is on yourself rather than others. You're not rejoicing with them. They've been blessed with the things they've received. And so envy takes the glory away. Love and jealousy, envy, are on opposite sides of the spectrum. Now, there are two aspects of this zealous jealousy. One, I want what they have. I want what they have. Now, stop and think. Are you jealous? I want what they have. I want you to think about your life. Are there things right now that you wish that somebody else had that you don't have? I want what they have. The definition of that? Jealousy. Envy. We want what others have. But do you know that this envy can be another form of it? It can go beyond just I want what they have to I wish they didn't have what they have. You see, the one is trying to acquire to myself. I want, you know, you might be even happy. They got this car, I want that car. You might get the car, you might be happy. That's still jealousy. That's still envy, your desire. You wish that you could have. But sometimes it doesn't even matter if we get it. We just don't want them to have it. And my friend, that's the same thing. It's still jealousy. It's still envy. We are envying things kind of in a reverse way. I wish they didn't have that. And we would almost feel better if it burned up. Now they're back on my level. And I ask you the question, have you ever been jealous in this way? Have you ever envied somebody in this way? It doesn't matter if you acquire it. You just wish they didn't have it. Both are envy. You know, the story was told. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 20 concerning the situation, referring back to Solomon. And you remember how there was the two mothers and the two babies. You remember that situation? Remember that story? And you remember, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but you remember the true mother, what was characteristic of her? Because she loved the child, she said the true mother was what? Just give it to her, right? Give it to her. Why? Because she loved the child. But can you think, what was the response of the mother that wasn't the mother? What was her idea? Cut it in half. I mean, what happens if you cut something in half? You don't have it. That lady was more concerned about them. I mean, you think about it. Who was this lady that wasn't the true mother? Who was she most concerned about? The baby or herself? Herself. She did not care that baby be cut in half. And I don't like to talk about things like that. But she would rather that happen to that little child rather than gratify the other. She would rather have that happen. She wouldn't have gotten anything. And that's a part of envy and jealousy that we've got to look at. And my friend, if that is our attitude among other people, we are guilty of envy and we are guilty of not loving our brothers and sisters. You do not love that other person if that's your heart and that's your attitude. Because God says right here, charity envieth not. Charity won't do it. Love will not do it. Love will not succumb to two things, wishing that you had what that other person had. And we're going to get down to why, because you might be thinking, how is that not love? Just because I wish that I drove this person's car, or I wish that I had that, how is that really not love? We're going to talk about that and get down to try to get very practical here in just a moment. But doing that, but also then I think a little bit more clear, looking at that other person, just saying, I just wish that theirs would burn up. I wish they would lose it. I wish. And when we hear that they lose it, there's some sort of gratification that we get. And my friends, that ought to wake you up if that's the way you're feeling, because I'll tell you what, we are envious, but I'll tell you, it even goes beyond that, and it's just flat out bitterness. You're bitter at that person. And I would suggest that it even goes further. We're bitter at God, because God is the one that gives and God is the one that takes away. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. So love is glad for others. Love is glad for others' prosperities. Honestly, when you love another person, you're glad that they get that thing. You're glad that they come to that. You're glad that they receive that gift. Like, I'm so glad that God blessed them with that. That's love. Question, are you grateful when other people get things that you... I mean, let's be honest, I would love to have that. Are you glad when that other person is blessed with those things? Or do you drive away thinking, I don't understand why that didn't come to me? I think about Paul. Paul was an amazing man. He really was an amazing man. Do you remember Philippians chapter 1? Paul is talking about other people that were preaching the gospel at his stake. Honestly, at his stake, they were kind of pushing Paul out of the way and doing their own things. And Paul says, listen, the most important thing to me is that the gospel goes out. He says, I'll read the verses. Paul is speaking in Philippians chapter 1. He says, some Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. I mean, these people were even preaching Christ in envy and strife. And some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I mean, honestly, Paul had an amazing outlook. He said, you know what? They're making a mess of me, but look at what they're doing. That's a tremendous thought. Eve was jealous, wasn't she? She was jealous of God. She wishes she had those, you know, to know good and evil. Cain was jealous. Cain was jealous of his brother's blessing. Daniel's enemies were jealous, wishing that they had the blessing of Daniel. Why weren't they elected the prince of the princes, the king of, you know, of the whole group of people that the king had under them? Why weren't they chosen? The older brother of the prodigal son. I mean, you think about that. He wasn't happy that his brother returned. He wasn't happy that his dad, you know, did all those things that we learned about last week. He wasn't happy about that. In fact, what do we find the prodigal son doing? Dad, what are you doing? I've been here the whole time. And he wished that his younger son, brother, did not have those things. I would suggest to you that he was envious. He was jealous. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4. Listen to this verse. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who? Think about the two things that are listed there. Wrath. Is wrath bad? Of course. And anger. Outrageous. Anger. We know those things are bad. But who is able to stand before envy? You see what God is kind of quantifying that there. Wrath, anger are bad. But I'll tell you what he says in my language. He says, envy, wicked. You didn't realize how bad your envy is, your jealousy, when that neighbor pulls in with that. Well, I wish I had that. God says right here, he says, who's able to stand before that? He puts that even worse, in a sense, between wrath and anger. So let's look at love, or maybe the lack of love and envy, in an Old Testament story. Go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Here we have a story, and I think that we get both sides of this. We have a positive and a negative. We'll start with the negative. Let me go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 19. Let's start in verse 4. Here we have the story. We've got our main characters of Saul, who is king. We have his son, Jonathan, and we have Jonathan's wonderful friend, David. All right, so we have three main characters here as we look at this passage. Start in verse 4, and let's go back to chapter 18. Go one chapter before that. Let's look at chapter 18, and let me read this passage. Let's start in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 18, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that would be David, okay, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, and what has just happened here, by the way? The story of David and Goliath, okay? The story. And remember, I mean, and Saul was very pleased with David and what happened. I mean, you can't imagine. You know, David shows up and he defeats. If I was Saul, I'd be excited too. You know, I mean, wow, this young lad came and he just defeated our enemy that they had no clue how they were going to. They just stood there and on the other side of the mountain like, you know, scaredy cats, you know, to this big old guy. And they weren't going to do anything. And they didn't know. And David comes along and kills the giant. Well, of course, he's probably very thankful for what has taken place. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Okay, so two friends. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. That he wouldn't let David go home. He said, I want this young man. His heart was knit towards him just like his son's Jonathan's. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now up to this point, Saul has a very good situation with David. He is excited about David. He said, I want this guy with me until this point. So they're honoring David above Saul. And Saul was very much wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass in the morning that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Are you getting the picture of what's going on here with this idea of envy? Did Saul like David in the beginning? He did. And what was the problem? I mean, honestly, Saul was still victorious and he was assigned to his thousands, but what was his problem? David had gotten something more. God was blessing more, and he's seeing this blessing, and he just wished that David didn't have it. He's envious. He is struggling here. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So he was even jealous of God's blessing. I mean, he saw that the Lord was with David, and he knew that the Lord was not with him. Therefore Saul removed from him and made him captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merib, her will I give to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. See, you see what Saul is doing here? It looks like he's promoting David, but what is he doing? He's setting him up because he just wants him killed. He's just like, listen, this guy's a plague to me because he's getting more than I, so he wants to kill him. David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be a son-in-law to the king? And the story continues to go on. And so we just see this jealousy. We see this idea. I mean, here was an individual. Was David valuable to Saul? He was valuable. It was one of the best things that could have happened to King Saul. And honestly, if Saul would have treated David in the right way as a blessing from God and rejoiced with David at what happened, I'm so thankful, God. Thank you for using this young man. He defeated Goliath. And look at, I mean, honestly, I believe that Saul would have been blessed on even because of David. Because David was a man of God's own heart. David was going to be used in a tremendous way. I think Saul would have been used in a tremendous way. But Saul rejected God's blessing in his own life. Do you realize that other people that God is blessing are your blessings that God is blessing you with in your life? It's a blessing to have other people around us that are serving the Lord, that are getting blessed of the Lord. It's a blessing to have other people. How dare we look at God's blessing in their lives and look and say, I wish that I had it. We're hurting our own selves. We're hurting our own selves. Jonathan, on the other hand, what a great example of one who loved and did not have jealousy. Have you ever thought of Jonathan's situation with his own dad? What could have Jonathan done? I mean, look at who probably should have had the rightful place after Saul? Jonathan. I mean, David is David's blessed with so many things, and yet, Jonathan really missed out on a lot of things. And yet the very one that was, in a sense, taking away his potential glory, he loved. He was so grateful. I mean, when David was cheered, Jonathan was right there. Jonathan was so, he was, what a man. Folks, I want to tell you, the pattern, the one that we ought to be following in this passage is Jonathan. When our brothers and sisters are blessed of the Lord, we ought to be right there and just, and recognize that it's God's blessing in our own lives as well. So blessed. God, thank you. You're one of the team. One of the biggest detriments to an athletic team, to a sports team, is a guy that likes to be a ball hog or do all the scoring. He doesn't want to share the ball. He doesn't want to pass it along. You know, one of the greatest elements I'm just thinking of basketball right now, but to a basketball player or even a hockey player is a guy that will assist. You know what an assist is? He's the one that the ball was in his hands and he passed it off to that individual that was in range of scoring and they scored and he gets chalked up as an assist because he gave up the ball and he gave it to the one that was in good position and he scored. One of the most valuable players that you can have on a team is one who can assist somebody else. One who is not all about himself, but is willing to give up that ball. Or in baseball, it's the one that is willing to sacrifice and give up to that other player. So I'll be out so that you can continue on. That's what it means to love, not so much in baseball and basketball, but in our Christian lives, willing to give up for the sake of our brothers. And we're not pouting when we have got to go sit on the bench. We're cheering because our team members are still playing. Do you realize that in a church like this, we ought to be cheering our brothers and sisters on rather than wishing we had what they had? I don't understand why he got that position. I don't understand why he made it. What's so special about him? Why aren't people looking at me? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, that's jealousy. It's bitterness. It's envy. And you cannot love. And what does that do to all the service that we give to the Lord? Go back to the first three verses. What does God tell us that if we are not loving, what does that do to everything else you're doing? You say, but Pastor, you don't realize that I do so much around this church. When you are envying somebody else, everybody listen to this, it nullifies everything that you have ever done in this place. You cannot please God without love. You cannot please God when you're envying your brother or sister, when you're wishing that you had what they have, when you are wishing that they wouldn't get it. Well, I hope that he doesn't get it. I hope that he doesn't get it because I should be the one that gets this position. My friend, I want to tell you something. You are a zero for the Lord in the ministry. You cannot be used in the ministry because you don't have love. Jonathan, on the other hand, what a tremendous... I mean, look at chapter 20 and verse 4. I could have read a lot more. Chapter 19, I mean, verses 4 to 6, tremendous verses. We're seeing Jonathan's love and care for David. Chapter 20, we see Jonathan. Then said Jonathan to David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." Down in verse 17 of chapter 20, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. This is the opposite of envy. He would give anything he could to him. Kind of amazing. Okay, let's get to the end here. Let's get to the applications. I want to give you some applications that I want you to see. What can we conclude about envy? I want everybody's mind and brains engaged here, because I want you to think here. We know, we see from Scripture that envy is wrong. What are we really thinking when we become zealously jealous or envious of somebody else? This is kind of a progression here. First of all, we are understanding, or we're believing a lie that says that we are more important than that other person. Did everybody hear that? When you become jealous or envious of another person, you are really believing a lie that says you're more important than that other person.
Why do they get it and not me? You see what you're doing there? You're saying, I'm the one that deserves this. Tell me, what do we deserve? Hellfire. You don't deserve that. None of us deserve it. The only reason why people get anything what they get is because God's goodness. But when you become jealous, you are saying that you are more important. And that obviously is a lie. You're lifting yourself up above other people. So that's dangerous. We deserve this. They don't. There's another conclusion. Maybe, as we're jealous or envious, maybe we are saying that God loves me more than he loves them. Is that true? Does God love any person more than he loves another? It is not true. And I'll tell you what we're doing. We're tearing down God and his love when we start to believe this. When you're jealous, you're ripping apart and ruining God's love. God's love is special because he's no respecter of person, and he loves all. That's a blessing with God's love. And so we're saying that God loves us more than them. And so, in a sense, we ought to be receiving what they are receiving because he should love me. Maybe we're blaming God for not loving us the way he should love us. Maybe that's kind of the opposite. God, you know what? You're giving to them. You don't love me. What a twisted perspective. God has given to you eternal life. And God chooses to give things to different people because that's what they need in life. We cannot compare ourselves with other people. But when we're envious, we're saying, we're twisting that up and saying, you know, God, you don't care for me. You don't love me the way you ought to. In other words, God's love is not perfect. We're essentially saying when we're jealous and envious, we're essentially saying that God has not done a very good job at meeting my needs. You see, this is all of a sudden turning into blasphemy, isn't it? Blasphemy. God, you've not done a good job at meeting my needs. And so therefore, what ends up happening is we're not thankful and we even blame God. And you might not think it, you might not come to it in your life where you're realizing, but my friend, you're on a path that's going to blame God. You're going to blame God because God's not good enough. You say, God doesn't know what he's doing, and we get angry and bitter. And the bottom line is that if we are envying, if we are bitter this way, we are saying ultimately that God, listen to this, is not good. That is the end of envy. God is not good. See, envy is anti-God. Well, we know that because God is love. Envy is not. As we close, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I brought this up. Was it last week? I'm going to hit it again. James chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. Here, the same idea is used here. Right after the tongue is given, the preaching on the tongue, we just made a comment that envy is against God. I would even suggest that from James, it's even greater than being against God. James chapter 3, look at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? We have this bitter envying. We wish that we had what they have, and we wish that they didn't have what they have. And God, why are you doing this? Doesn't make sense. Oh, why? And we're jealous about it. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. In other words, he said, you better not have any glory inside of you. Don't you dare glory and lie not against the truth. This wisdom that you have, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what's the last word? Devilish. This is of the devil. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. My friends, it is absolutely, everybody listen to this, it's absolutely very destructive and dangerous, not only for you and your family, but this entire church. It's very destructive and dangerous for anybody to be in this congregation and be jealous of what other people have and what you don't have. It comes from the very pit of hell. And so therefore, we've got to put that away. We've got to get rid of jealousy. So what do we need to do with our envying? Number one, we need to acknowledge all that I have received has been from God, and He is good. If you're struggling with this morning and you've identified God as the Holy Spirit has put in your heart that you have been envious towards somebody else, maybe very innocently or whatever, but if you have been envious, the first thing that we need to do is acknowledge that everything that I have and what they have has been given by God. And it's time to start thanking God. Number two, be thankful to Him for everything and spend time meditating on His goodness. Honestly, this comes from an unthankful heart. When you are unthankful for what God gives, you're not counting your blessings and naming them one by one. All you're doing is looking at how everybody else is being blessed. And all of a sudden, you start to look back at what God has done for you, and you'll be reminded very quickly that God has blessed you just as well. And I don't believe there's anybody in this room that's been blessed greater. I don't believe that. Been blessed any greater. You say, well, they have more money than me. Money doesn't always mean greater blessing. You say, well, they have more, better this. That doesn't mean, you know what? Any blessing that you get is because of a good God. And we all need to be thankful for what God has done. So we need to acknowledge that we've received good things from God. God is good. We need to be thankful for Him in everything and spend time meditating on what He's done for us. We need to realize that we deserve nothing but punishment. We need to realize that everything that I do have has been graciously given to me through grace. Number four, we need to understand that God loves each and every one of His children equally. And lastly, we need to rejoice with our brothers and sisters as God blesses them in their lives. My friend, I want to tell you, when you hear about one of your brothers and sisters who have been blessed, you need to be right there rejoicing and praising God with them. Praise the Lord, and not wishing that you had it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. This is love. This is God. This shows God to the world. When we become a church that is lifting each other up, and we're excited about and cheering our brothers and sisters on for the goodness of God, that is a picture portrait of God to other people. This is what love is, or what is not. Father, would you help us? Would you help us not to be envious of our brothers and sisters? God, forgive us when we have looked over the fence and we have seen what they have. We look at what we don't have and we don't understand why, God, you have done this. God, would you forgive us for that? God, today, if we confess our sins, would you be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Lord, we know the answer is yes, because you told us you would do it. Lord, I pray that today, if there are people in here that have been jealous and envious and bitter, Lord, we recognize this comes from the pit of hell. God, would you forgive us and help us to get that right? Lord, would you help us to be for you, for our brothers, for our sisters? But help us not to be envious. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. And I just ask you this morning.